Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wild. So the reason why we're laughing is we've already started this video three other times, and we've had three terrible fails as we have fallen. Well, I have fallen flat on my face. You're going to see why in just a minute. But this is our 2024 Purdue Boilermakers preview. This preview is going to be hilarity. If you guys have followed us for a while, you guys know that when it comes to Purdue and Ohio State, the Boilermaker fans and the Purdue podcast, those guys and us, it's when we get together, Chris, it's a good time.
Chaos ensues.
Yes, absolutely. So the Boiler Express podcast, Dylan Kuhn and Russ are going to join us in just a few minutes to preview from their side of things. But first, Chris, let's take a little bit of a look last year to see how Purdue did and how we did. I know it says 2022 season results. It is 2023. My apologies. I noticed that as soon as I got this finished, we started recording. So please bear with me on my mistake. But four wins last year. That was it. Vegas said that they would get five, Chris. They only got four. I predicted five. You predicted seven. We were both wrong. Their lone wins were against Virginia Tech, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana. I thought for sure they would beat someone like Northwestern, maybe a Nebraska, but it didn't happen. And gosh darn it. I mean, a four-point loss at home to open the season to Fresno State, and we win money there. So not the kind of season that Purdue wanted, Chris. They went 4-8 last year in Ryan Walters' initial inaugural season as head coach of Purdue. They play it over at Ross-Ade Stadium, which you and I went and attended the game last year against Ohio State, where the Buckeyes won 41-7. Nice place to watch a football game, not going to lie. I've been to both Indiana and Purdue Stadium, to our neighbors to the west, and Purdue Stadium is 100 times better than Memorial Stadium over there in Bloomington, Indiana. Capacity 57,236, and that's 57,236 skinny people. all-time record.
True story.
Yes. All-time record, 641, 597 losses, 48 ties. They do have a winning record in bowl games at 11-10, and they've won 12 conference championships. Chris, your thoughts on the history of Purdue and how they did last year? They had a tough schedule last year.
They did have a tough schedule last year. And honestly, Eric, you know, I know Hudson Card battled some injuries last year. That probably didn't help matters any. But that and their offensive line was constantly injured. So I was a little disappointed in how they performed last year. But, you know, this is a big thing. They've historically given the Buckeyes some issues, Eric, but this ain't Joe Tiller's Purdue. So, you know, I look for us to handle our friends from Purdue pretty easily this year.
All right, let's figure out what they think. We're going to join the Purdue Boilermaker Express podcast, have them join us. Let's see what they think. And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. And the man beside me, well, he needs no introduction. For all of you who call in on Thursday nights, this is our Purdue fella, DK, Dylan Kuhn. And Dylan, that is one really nice tumbler you got there.
It is. It's very nice. The package was autographed by Chris Wildman. So I appreciate that. It's very nice. I got some Gatorade in here. No ice, because you don't want to ice down Gatorade. But very nice. I've enjoyed it. It's been a very nice, in my roster of thermoses and or tumblers.
There you go. And you can't see him, but he'll be the magical voice behind us. We have Russ from the Boiler Express podcast. Russ, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Of course, the old guy is experiencing technical difficulties, so I apologize. But I'm here.
Everyone will ask, why do you call Russ old? This is why. This exact reason right here.
I cannot argue that.
Well, Russ, be sure and thank the nurses there at the nursing home for making sure that they woke you up after your nap for this Purdue preview. Guys, I tell you what, I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. For anybody who has followed our show for the last year plus, the Boiler Express podcast is my favorite podcast in the Big Ten outside of my own, obviously. You guys are entertaining as heck, and so much so that last year we went all the way to West Lafayette to meet you all, and Dylan, you were the only one who had the guts to say, I'll be there and take my butt whooping from the Buckeyes. And that was when we introduced the Chris Wildes Memorial Trophy, and it is now the singular one thing that existed from the Big Ten whatever we had there, whatever it was called, the Big Ten banter or Big Banter.
It wasn't a good time. I try to forget those days.
Well, we took the Memorial Trophy with us from Big Banter, and it resides here in the palatial Boggs Estate.
Not for long.
As Chris likes to say. Yeah, let's talk about that because, Ohio State and Purdue do play each other this year later in the season. It is at Ohio State, which is probably not going to be a good thing for you guys. If it was a night game in West Lafayette, I might feel differently. As the name for Dylan so beautifully shows 05, 09, 11, and 18, all years that
I've rushed the field every year of these games.
Thanks for the reminder. And you can't see it, but Russ has his name as 49-20.
That was one of the best nights of my life. You guys are lucky I did not podcast at that time because you would have hated me.
Hey, let me tell you, the world is lucky I didn't podcast at that time after that game. Let me tell you.
Did I need a screenshot my tweet after that game, and it was all caps and it said, "Feed me your tears, Ohio State fans."
Oh, there was plenty.
Because I live in Ohio. I am one of you. I'm just not one of you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm a Buckeye. But I'm a Boilermaker, you know.
Russ, what are you?
I'm a Hoosier.
Other than old.
Boilermaker by the grace of God.
A Boilermaker by the grace of God, he said. All right, guys, let's jump into our preview. I am super interested to get your guys' opinion because, unlike Rutgers, you guys actually have a completely difficult schedule once again. And the not only the schedule makers, but the odds makers just don't like Purdue this preseason. But as I look through the schedule, I'm finding games where I'm thinking Purdue's going to win. And I'm not going to lie, I got more than what the odds makers have. So let's dive into a little bit of Purdue this season, and maybe we can get a feel for where you guys, along with what we believe, where you're going to land this year. So I'll start with you first, Russ. What are the main storylines for your team heading into the 2024 season?
I really kind of jumped to the end of the season. I think it's really, what does our roster look like at the end of the season, regardless of what happens this year? Because it could be a rough season. No, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Obviously, our schedule's tough, and a 4-8 season would not be indicative, I don't think, of what this team actually looks like this year. Because we could go 4-8 and seven of those eight losses could be single digit, you know, one possession losses. So I think it just comes down to, you know, 2025 is a much easier schedule, especially our non-conference. I mean, our conference schedule is going to be tough no matter what moving forward at this point. So it seems like we're moving more towards that SEC build where you basically just make every non-conference game a cupcake because, you know, your conference schedule is going to be so tough. And so to me, it's just, you know, I know we've got the talent and we'll talk about some of these guys tonight, but I think we've got a lot of guys that rank a lot better compared to their conference running mates than what people are giving them credit for. Even you guys, Eric, I think I called you out on Twitter on one of them. Yeah, I think that there's a talent on this team. It's just a tough schedule, and we could come up on the short side of some really close games that make our record not really indicative of how talented this team is.
I see it. No, I hear you. I absolutely hear you. What about you think, Dylan? What do you think? Are there some other storylines or some things about the Boilers season that you think the people should know?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's, you know, you're coming up for the second year for Walters, and he's got a lot more of his guys on roster suiting up. So you're going to get a better look on how Walters is going to run things. I just like kind of like what Russ said, man, it's a tough schedule, very tough schedule, unlike Rutgers. And I'm just hoping for six wins and a Cheez-It Bowl or a Pop-Tart Bowl, and I'll be happy with that. I don't think Purdue Twitter will be, but they're not real most of the time. So I'm just hoping for a bowl game. I'm not investing a lot of emotion into this football season. I mean, I always have emotion into it, but I'm not going to, you know, die if we, you know, don't make a bowl game. But yeah, I'm just hoping for the six wins, the bowl game and the bucket, and to beat the Buckeyes in Columbus.
You got to throw that in there, right? I mean, come on. That's got to be the number one. All right, let's talk about rosters. And Dylan, I'll start with you. Who were some of the biggest losses off of last year's team, i.e. either through the draft or through the transfer portal? It did seem like the transfer portal kind of came up and hit you guys quite a bit.
Yeah, the transfer portal hit us in the teeth, and it didn't stop. But for me, I'm going to miss Tyrone Tracy a lot. Got picked up by the Giants in the draft. You know, a lot of defensive guys that got lost to the transfer portal. Texas A&M came in with their big wallets and big money and took Russ, help me out.
Nick Scorton.
Scorton, that's what it is. Tyrone Tracy's a big loss. But at the same time, I think Walters did a pretty good job of, you know, using the portal for our advantage also. So, I'm going to miss guys like Scorton and Tyrone Tracy for sure.
Dylan, anybody, or Russ, anybody to add to that?
Yeah, no. Nick Scorton is definitely the name I was thinking of, because I think more of it from a transfer portal standpoint. Who do we lose? Because the seniors, you know, it sucks to lose any kind of senior production, but, you know, that's something that you should expect. You know, you're going to have turnover. But the Nick Scorton loss hurt because – I think Purdue going in this year on defense, we were worried about our secondary. We thought we're really happy with our front seven or front six or whatever you want to call it in Walter's defense. And having Jenkins declare that he was coming back and thinking, hey, we're going to have Jenkins and Scorton, who were two of the top four sack getters this year or this past year in the Big Ten. It was like, okay, cool. If we get some secondary, we'll be great. And then we lose Scorton, and it's like, well, dang. And, you know, I'm going to counter Dylan's point a little bit there. People say we got kicked in the teeth in our transfer portal, but if you look at the top 10 guys associated with Purdue in the transfer portal, that's guys either transferring out of Purdue or into Purdue. Of the top 10 talented guys, according to like 24/7 rankings, six of them were transferring into Purdue and four were out of Purdue. So I feel like we got a lot more talent coming in than people are giving us credit for, you know, starting with guys at the top like Nyland Green.
Well, expound upon that a little bit, Russ, because my next question is obviously, well, what's some of the talent that's coming in? And it sounds like you actually might have some more talented guys coming in than what you lost, which is kind of a you know, when if you're losing four, gaining six, and the guy six kind of coming in, you feel more talented than the four you lost, then it's a net positive.
Yeah, Nyland Green was the top rated guy of those 10. He was a guy from Georgia who was, I think, their sixth or seventh rated defender per Pro Football Focus. I saw him in spring game, and he's going to be that shutdown corner for this year that we didn't really have last year. We had some guys that you know, played a decent role, but that was definitely a weak point in our defense last year. And I think Nyland Green's going to come in and help shore that up. and another guy in Kendrick Breedlove from Colorado, one of the, you know, many guys that have transferred out of there and that whole circus going on. You know, he's a speedster that could be one of the fastest guys on our team, and he's going to be starting the secondary for us. Plus, we've got a 4/5-star guy who will be getting on campus or maybe even be on campus now as a true freshman that he might be able to come in and contribute. You know, if he could do half what Dylan Thienem did his freshman year, this defense is going to – you're not going to remember who Nick Scorton was. Nick who? Like, it's not going to matter. Like, our defense is going to look way better.
Dylan, anything to add to that?
No, I mean, Russ really nailed it on the head there. He's a well-informed – he may be late and he maybe have terrible audio and visuals, but the guy knows what he's talking about.
Appreciate it, bro.
All right, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about some of the players on the roster who people should know. Who are the leaders of this team? Who do you foresee as kind of being captains? And if they stay healthy, who are the guys who you're counting on leading Purdue to victory this season? Dylan, I'll start with you.
First and foremost, a name you got to know. Oh, I'm full screen. That's scary. Is my dog, Gus Hartwig, at center. The man has the grittiest name in Gus, and he's a great center on the O-line. He played every position on the O-line possible last year when the offensive line was littered in injuries. Let's see. We got Hudson Card, of course, and then Devin Mockaby, who are friends of the program, the Mockaby family. Devin and Love are going to be a great duo in the backfield. Really looking forward to that, but yeah, those are just names that come to mind. Dylan Thienemann, of course, who's a dog. Every Dylan ever created is an athlete, pure athlete. We all know this. Even if you spell it D-I-L-L-O-N or D-Y-L-A-N, it doesn't matter. So yeah, those are just some names, and I'm really excited to see those guys. And Gus deserves some praise because that guy held it down in a literal sense last year for the offensive line and Hudson Card. And so like, if you're to talk about my favorites, and I'm fairly certain that Gus Hartwig will be a captain, Gus is on the top of my list. That guy, he's like, you talk about a DAWG, he's a dog.
Russ, anything to add to that, my friend?
No, all those guys are good. The one name he didn't get to was the guy I mentioned a few minutes ago. It was Cajun Jenkins. I think he's got to be a captain for this year. He was, I think, third in sacks in the Big Ten last year. And so he's somebody that Big Ten offenses are going to have to take notice of because he's going to move to more of a middle linebacker role for us. He's still going to get after the passer, especially in passing downs. But Walters has moved him to more of a centralized position to help him affect more of the run game and more of the game itself so that he can't just get, you know, stuck on one side and double teamed to take it out of the play. You've got to account for him every single play. And so I think Cajun Jenkins is primed for a really big year.
Let's talk for a minute about you mentioned him, Dylan, and, you know, obviously share a first name with him, Dylan Thienemann. And that last name should sound familiar to Big Ten fans and Ohio State fans. He's got not one, but is it two older brothers that played for Purdue? Am I thinking of someone else?
No, that's correct. I don't know what Dylan did. You mute yourself on accident there, bud?
No, I'm good. Yeah, we're good.
He's giving that one to you, Russ.
Oh, yeah, I was giving it up to you, Russ. What we
doing? Oh, okay. Gotcha. I'm sorry. I thought it was going to Dylan first. But, yeah, no, he is the youngest of three brothers. And Coach Walters is, you know, he did some homework on Purdue before he took the job, obviously. And he said he thinks he's the most talented of the three. He came in and, you know, not only was, you know, living up to that talent this year, but he was showing off the speed that made him maybe the fastest guy on the team. And, you know, of course, he's a third team All-American last year, freshman All-American as well. And, you know, so he very well could be the most talented of the three, but he should sound familiar if you're a true old-school Big Ten fan, not, you know, maybe some of these new guys coming in from the West Coast or, you know, even, you know, some of the more recent additions like Maryland and Rutgers. Like, he's part of one of the first families of Purdue football for sure.
Yeah, and we had his brother Jake on the show, and even Jake was like, he's the athlete of the family. Like, yeah. He outruns me, he outruns everyone else. So, like, even his own brothers are like, yeah, this guy's – he's him.
And Jake – I saw that episode. Jake is a cool dude, man.
Jake is great. He's a good one.
He's a cool dude. All right, guys. So, I'm going to split this one up. I'm going to give Dylan – I'm going to give you the first part of the question, and I'm going to give Russ the second part of the question. But actually, I'm going to flip it.
Oh.
Because I think you might be a little bit more honest with me than what Russ is. Russ is very – Russ is very optimistic about things. I've listened to you guys. Dylan, what is the weakness, if there is one, and obviously there is one, but yeah. What is the weakness do you think or you perceive in the Purdue 2024 football team?
The biggest thing that worries me in the literal sense and otherwise is the offensive line. Struggled last year, didn't give Hudson Card a lot of time to throw, didn't set up the running backs really well. Like I said earlier, Gus Hartwig with the injuries played every position possible and was really holding down the fort for everybody. So that worries me. However, to put a little optimism in it, a little bit of change, a little bit of shakeup in the offensive line, some guys coming back healthy. So I'm excited to see what they do. I just hope it's nothing like last year and that they give Hudson some time to throw, or he's a runner, he can use his feet. And then to give the running backs, Mockamy and Love, some time too to set up some holes in the defense and to carve those out. So that's my main concern slash going to be interesting to see is how the offensive line bounces back from a tough season last year.
All right, Russ, you can add to that if you like, and then I want to give you the flip side of that. What is the strength of this football team?
No, for sure. The offensive line is definitely a point of focus in the transfer portal and both on the recruiting trail as well. And, you know, I would say wide receiver and deep defensive back are two positions, too, that we kind of tried to stockpile guys and hope that, the cream rises to the top in those positions. But as far as strengths, you know, one guy that I've continued to beat the drum for, and I beat the drum for him going into last year, and he just happened to have, you know, an injury-riddled slash running for his life season, and that's Hudson Card. He was, even despite being hurt, missing a game, and running for his life, and being 4-8, he was third in the conference in passing yards per game. You know, and not a lot of, you know, people are mentioning him as being one of the, you know, I think top five quarterbacks in the conference going in this year. And, you know, it's, you know, football is still a quarterback's game. You know, regardless of the, you know, realignment and, you know, any rule change or whatever, it still comes down to, you know, if you got the best quarterback on the field, you've got a pretty good shot to win the game. And I think, you know, in at least 10, maybe even, you know, as many as all 12 of our games, depending on how Dylan Gabriel and Will Howard transition to their new programs, I think, you know, he's going to be as good, if not the best quarterback on the field all season for us. And that's going to give us a good shot this year. And then, of course, defense, like we talked about, you know, Dylan Thieneman is going to be a killer back there. If you haven't seen Purdue play defense, it's very unique. Coach Walters has a unique scheme. It almost looks like Dylan Thieneman was back ready to return a punt on some plays. But he gets involved in the run game. He's actually higher rated in the run game than the pass game. So that dude is involved, and he's definitely going to be the leader on that defense this year.
Did I hear a Macho Man reference? The cream rises to the top.
Maybe not intentionally, but yeah.
I was half expecting Dylan to go, oh, yeah.
Well, if you listen to our podcast, we do a lot of the Stone Cold What and a few other, you know, Ric Flair things. We do a lot of wrestling references in the Boiler Express podcast. But I didn't pick it up. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I
should have dropped a what.
Different eras, brother. Yeah, different eras.
See, I'm not that big into wrestling, so I don't know exactly, but I know the Ric Flairs, the Stone Colds, the Undertakers. I know the top guys.
So let's look at your schedule, and I'm going to pull Russ's page back up because that's what I'm using as your as your face, Russ.
Better looking than his face, let me tell you.
Can't disagree.
All right, you guys start the year off against the powerhouse of the state of Indiana, the Sycamores. I don't think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar plays football for them.
My hero.
Nor does he play basketball for them anymore, I think.
That's
so
true.
That should be an auto dub. Then you get the earliest bye in the history of byes. Week two. I mean, apparently the schedule makers are like, God, that Indiana State game is so difficult. We better give them a week off to start September.
It's really two byes when you think about it.
Ooh, Dylan. Ooh.
Listen, if you think I'm going to come out here and say, oh, Indiana State has a chance, they don't have a chance. Gee, many Christmas. It's like when you guys play Miami of Ohio. Like, come on. We're going to beat India. What did we beat them by, like 70 last year? Don't even worry about it.
Notre Dame comes into West Lafayette. Now, listen, a lot of people don't know this, but Notre Dame – and Purdue, if I'm not mistaken, Purdue is is the one team in the Big Ten Notre Dame has played more than any other team in the Big Ten, and that includes the team from Ann Arbor and the team from East Lansing.
You mean Michigan?
I won't say that word.
Michigan?
Stop okay. it.
I hate them. Don't
listen,
worry.
We have a family-friendly rating on this show, and we do not allow those swear words to be spoken.
Whoops.
Notre Dame is coming in. And listen, Chris wants to go to this game so bad. He's like, we got to go, Boggs. he's so pumped for this game. I can't wait for the Boiler Express Always Irish crossover podcast. That is a dream come true.
Kennedy and I in the same room, even if it's online, is
oh I don't know Lord. If he'll know how to take you.
We may break the internet.
You might. Then you're on the road to finish off your non-conference.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Schedule against the Beavers. Oregon, that's interesting to me that, you know, that coach, Jeremiah Smith, now coaching for a team from East Lansing. I'm not going to say it.
Michigan State.
Nope. That stop. The swear jobs, swear jar is getting fuller.
Am I going to have to pay a fine like last time?
Yes, you will. it's at their stadium. It's all the way on the West Coast. I don't know. Like, I feel like this is, I can't wait to get your take on that game. Then you take on Nebraska at home. Again, this is a Nebraska team that a lot of people are feeling a little bit more juice about. You're at Wisconsin. You haven't beaten them in like, gosh, Dylan, were you born yet?
No, I haven't seen them beat Wisconsin in my entire lifetime.
That's interesting.
It's tough.
You're at Illinois. Then you are up against Oregon at home. Then you get another bye, Northwestern. At Ohio State, against Penn State, at Michigan State, at Indiana to finish the year off. And I think we lost Russ. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, so it's great. You and me, Dylan. So looking at that schedule, what is the floor for this team and what is the ceiling?
Like I said early in the show, I'm hoping for 6 wins in a Pop-Tart, Cheeto, whatever bowl. I'd be cool with that. As long as we don't play LSU and get stomped in the Cheez-It Bowl, that was tough. I'm not going to go in with super high expectations. I'm going to kind of give Walt another little grace year. Not a grace year, but like not like last year. I want him to be competitive, and I don't want to get ran out of any stadiums this year like you guys did to us last year. I don't want that. We should not have that. Those games, even with the tough schedule, we should not lose by more than 21. I would hate to see that. I want it to be competitive. The floor, oh man, like if we only win like 2 to 3, 4, like then I'm going to be like, oh, that's tough. Cause we have some dogs like the Dylan Thienemans and so on and so forth. The ones we've mentioned this show, there's no reason we should win less than 6. Like, in my opinion, And, you know, it's a different world that you guys have where you're thinking Natty or bust. I don't even look at the national championship as a possibility. Unfortunately, I hope one day we get there. But to be real, we're not there yet. Hopefully one day in my lifetime, I see it. We just saw our basketball team play in the national championship, and it was like, I don't even know. I couldn't put it into words. So if we ever make it in football, I don't know how I'm going to act. So yeah, I'm just hoping for competitive games, no blowouts. You look at our tough schedule, one of the tough games being at the Shoe. I really don't, because I'm going to be there. I need to get tickets still, but I plan on being there. And I really don't want to go in there and then get blown out like last time at our home turf. So I'm just hoping for a competitive year. I'm hoping to see an uptick on what we saw last year. I just want the building blocks to fall in place for Walt, because I like Walters. Walters is a good dude. He brings energy to a program that hasn't had his type of energy, I don't think, ever. You know, Brom had energy. He brought a certain aura to the team. But Walt brings a whole new, like, youthful energy to the team. So I'm hoping to see some building blocks, some base blocks to build on top for years to come this season. That's my hope, at least.
So if I hear you right, Dylan, you're saying the floor is 3 and the ceiling is 7?
Yeah. That's where I would go. I'm not a numbers guy, but, you know. On our podcast, I say Boilers by a billion a lot. And when it comes to the Sycamores, yeah, Boilers by a billion. But when it comes to Ohio State or the Oregons or, you know, whoever, Penn State's, Wisconsin's, I'm like, I just want to not get blown out. Like, I'm tired of watching games where we're down by 21 plus and it's not even, you know, going into the fourth yet. I just don't want embarrassment. I'm tired of embarrassment.
So if the ceiling's 7, I want you to give me the 7th win on your schedule. Indiana, Michigan State, Northwestern, Illinois, Indiana State, and then Nebraska. Is that 7th win Wisconsin?
I would love for there to be a Wisconsin. Like we just said, I've never seen us beat Wisconsin in my lifetime. I'm 27, almost 28 years young. So that would be great. Northwestern's tough. They're not, you know, you take last year as an example. They shocked everybody, I think, with how they did last year. And granted, they're playing on their practice field at home, and then we play them at Purdue, thankfully. So it's going to be interesting. But I'm going to guess a win against Wisconsin. I'm going to say it. Okay. Just for the heck of, I would love and I would party if that happened.
So I just looked it up on Winsipedia. Wisconsin is on a 17-game win streak from 2024 or from 2004 through 2023.
Oh, so I just don't remember.
Yeah, the last time was 2003.
But if you look at, I don't think we've beat them at Camp Randall. And
Joe Tiller beat Barry Alvarez. Dude, the last time
there's you a guys couple beat names.
Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez was coach.
Now he's retired. And from AD and coaching.
He went from coach to athletic director to retirement in that span.
It's tough.
Oh, yeah. Tough. What it's is tough. It then? Like, cause
I don't on, know, like, man.
Like, look at the years you've beat us.
Yeah, we can beat you guys, no problem, but we can't beat Wisconsin. We can ruin your national championship hopes, and you can be ranked number two, and we'll take you out by, you know, 40 to whatever it was. But when it comes to Wisconsin, I don't know. It's like we have the yips. I don't know what it is. Some scientist who's much smarter than I am has to look into it.
Is it really mental at this point? Like the players just.
I don't know. I would like. These kids weren't even a thought. They weren't like, there shouldn't be a like, ooh, we got Wisconsin. You know, we haven't beat them in 20. Like there shouldn't be that with anybody, you know? And it's just, there's such a turnaround in college sports too. I don't know, especially Camp Randall. Camp Randall has some sort of aura to it. I don't know. Someone must've put a curse on Purdue against Wisconsin, some sort of cheese curse or something. I don't know, but it's tough. And so if we beat them this year, I'll be head over heels.
Okay. All right. What you've kind of already answered this question, but I guess I'll let you reiterate it since Russ fell asleep. It's his bedtime. I mean, we got the best of Russ.
It is 9:30. Yeah, it's way past his bedtime.
We got the best of Russ.
The melatonin kicked in.
What's the expectations for this year for Purdue football? I know you kind of already answered this, but answer it for me again.
I just want to see Coach Walters build on what he built last year of what there was. Like I said earlier, he's brought a new breath of fresh air to the program, a new energy, a new aura that we really haven't had. Purdue's never been really like the cool guys, you know what I mean? But now with the things Walt has implemented, we're kind of cool. Like Walters at least is cool. Walters is a cool dude. He knows how to talk to these young guys. He knows, you know, the hip cool lingo and what's going on. So I just want to see Walters build on what he's built already, which isn't much because last year was kind of iffy. But I just want to see Walt and his staff, you know, offensive coordinator had a little bit of a tough time last year. Want to see him do better. So I don't know. I'm not these, you know, like Purdue should be competing for national championship. Sure, everyone wants that. But in reality, there's some schools, i.e. us, who we're not there yet. And we can't expect that. So I'm just excited to see what Walt comes out with. You know, to little things like the physical changes of the stadium and what he's brought. I just want to see him build up because I like him. I think he's a really good coach. I think he's a good dude. And I would like for him to be at Purdue for a long time. And I say that, I would say that about any coach, right? Because no one wants to lose a coach and whether it be like Brohm who left for Louisville or Hazel who we fired because he was a terrible coach. You want to see whoever your head coaches be good, but I specifically want to see some build, some momentum going into whatever. Like, I just want to see some energy, and I don't want to get blown out anymore. I'm tired of those games, like I said earlier. Like, I want these guys to be competitive, and I want Purdue to be, a team when people look at their schedule and they're like, oh, you know, there's Purdue. And right now, I don't know if we're that or not. I don't, you know, for you guys, probably not. But that's why I just want a competitive team. Who goes out there and doesn't get run over every week. That's where I'm at personally.
Tough question for you. All right.
Yeah.
And I believe Russ is back with us.
Oh, good.
But, and I'll ask Russ this question too. This is just off the top of my lid. I want to get your honest take on this. Ryan Walters or Jeff Brohm? If Jeff Brohm would be like, hey, I made a mistake, I want to come back, who are you taking?
That's tough because that's really tough. Holy crap. That's a good one. I would probably stick with Walters because you don't want to take the significant other back. Like, you don't – I don't know. And he's done great. He had a great year at Louisville last year. He's doing great. Yeah. Louisville. I'm sorry. I pronounce Louisville wrong all the time.
Louisville.
You gotta sound like you're gagging. Anyway, but I don't know. I would stick with Walters because I just feel it'd be weird to have Brohm back. Personally, he's a good football coach. But from what I heard from football alumni that I know, that we know from the show, with Walters, he's big on bringing alumni back. He's big on a family, you know, cohesive program. And Brohm wasn't, from what I've heard, wasn't like that, unless your last name was Brohm, because if it was, you worked for him and you had a job wherever he goes, which I also don't have a problem with. But he kind of locked down the facilities from what we heard from the outside. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in college sports specifically, it's good to have the alums back. It's good to have, you know, for us, the Drew Breeses, I don't think he ever denied Drew Brees. If anybody denied Drew Brees, there'd probably be a riot in the streets in West Lafayette. But you got to have these alumni back and have a cohesive family environment. And that's what Walters brought. That's one of my pluses for Coach Walt is he's really involved the alumni group and so on and so forth. And Brohm really didn't do that. Alums really didn't feel welcome in the building. And that's not how I would want a program to be ran. So for me, I would stick with Walt. I like the energy he brings. He brings a whole new energy to not only the program, but Ross 8 on game days. And I like Walt. I'm a Coach Walt guy.
Russ, welcome back to the program. What's your take on that question?
Golly.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, guys. I'm going to kick it back to you here, Dylan, and let everybody know where they can find the Boiler Express podcast.
Well, you can find us wherever podcasts are streamed. Our guy Frank, producer Frank, Big Brain Frank, we got a lot of nicknames for our guys, does a great job at making sure wherever you listen to podcasts, we are there. And if we're not, let us know and we'll put ourselves there. We're big on the Twitter streets. Follow us at Boiler Express_. We're pretty active there. You can follow me at @DylanCoon_. Russ is at @BXPRuss_. Russ? Ah, I was close. I got my underscore in the wrong spot. So we're very active on social media, even with Ohio State fans who, as a Boilermaker from birth, who grew up in Ohio, I hated Ohio State fans there for a long time, but then I met Buckeye Boggsy here, then I met Chris, and then I met JR, and then I met, shout out Billy Bob, my guy, met Billy Bob, and I was like, you know what? Maybe these guys aren't that bad. So we're friends with the Buckeyes now. I'll be there in Columbus. I'm sure I'll try and get some of the other guys too for that November 9th game. Chris wrote on my box when he shipped my mug here that I had to take it with me and use it there, which I don't think they'll allow in the stadium, but yeah, you know, I'll tailgate with that. So you can follow us anywhere and everywhere. We're on Instagram. We don't really use Instagram all that much, but we're there, and Facebook, but mainly Twitter @BoilerExpress_, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, whatever. We're everywhere. You can find us on any streets on the internet, and we'll be there, and we're there to chat. So hit us up anytime.
Or just go over to thecollegehuddle.com.
Thecollegehuddle.com. 70-plus podcasts that this man here has killed it. Him and JR. Very glad they let my stooge self and my very smart comrades over at BXP be a part of this. But thecollegehuddle.com. I also noticed you did have to put the in there, didn't you?
Collegehuddle.com was taken.
That was it. It's like Dylan Coon on Twitter has been taken. The dude hasn't tweeted since 2017, and I've been like, "Come on, buddy, give it up."
Yeah. So they wanted to sell it to me for a price that did. I was like, not willing to part with. So Jeez. We just threw the word "the" in front of it and said, "Hey, we're good."
I just thought that was your Buckeye bias.
It would appear that you know, I was good with it.
I mean, you guys tried owning the or the. It's
we
the.
Do.
Oh, do you really?
The universe.
Well, the Bobcats don't have much.
I just wanted to make sure that it was proper English.
Ugh. Go Bobcats. Go Red Hawks. Go. Bowling Green, Toledo.
Falcons.
Yes. The Rockets.
That's Toledo.
Do you know anymore? The Bearcats, of course.
Cincinnati.
Come
on, you're missing the obvious one. Dayton.
Oh, my own people, the Dayton Flyers, where I live.
Rice State.
Well, yeah, right. But Rice State, they have a club football team, but they don't have like a football. Right. Also, Ohio State has a club football team.
They're national champions every
really?
Year.
Of course.
So last year, remember Xavier Johnson played for the team past couple years?
Mm-hmm.
It was a walk-on. He started on the club team.
Really?
And then made it all the way to get a tryout with the NFL. How about that?
That's cool. That's cool. I like that. That's awesome.
All right, guys. Check them out over at the Boiler Express podcast. They're on YouTube. Find them at thecollegehuddle.com. They will have – they're great people. They're just check them out, everybody.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And welcome back, everybody. Thank you to Dylan. Thank you to Ross for coming on the show, being our special guests, and previewing the Boilermakers in 2024 from their perspective. As you would expect, they're a little higher on their team, I think, than a lot of people are going into this season. But gosh darn it, man, that's another tough schedule this year that they're going to face.
I think the word isn't high on their schedule. I think the kids call it delulu. They're just a little bit delusional about where they're going to be. So
Gotcha. Understood. All right, let's take a look at their roster real quick here, Chris. We'll dive into that real fast. So looking at our lads here that I have pulled up, let's look at the offense first. Only three transfers in, Chris, which is interesting. DJ Wingfield at right guard and Corey Stewart at left tackle. Obviously trying to patch some serious holes on that offensive line, Chris, that they experienced in the past, as I'm sure Dylan Kuhn just drove by in his crotch rocket. CJ Smith at wide receiver comes in. Of course, they got Jamal Edrin and Andrew Sawinski at wide receiver as well. Taking a look at Max Clair at tight end, pretty decent tight end there. But circle these two names. These are guys that they're really counting on. Hudson Card at quarterback, Devin Maccabee at running back, and then don't sleep on Reggie Love III, his backup as well, because Maccabee last year did have some fumble rooski issues, as I recall. So, Chris, what do you think about the Purdue offense? I do like their quarterback.
I like Hudson Card a lot. I think that he was, between his injuries and the line injuries, he was really up against a wall last year. So I'm not going to hold that one against him. Like Max Clair, the tight end, I think he's a tremendous talent. And like you said, I think Maccabee's got the ability to be a great, great running back. He did have some fumble issues, but let's not forget, Eddie George had fumble issues his first year too. Not that I think that this guy is going to be an Eddie George, but I do think the guy's got the ability to be a 1,000-yard rusher and a good serviceable back.
Well, as the story goes, two-time winning Heisman Trophy running back Archie Griffin fumbled on his in his first game as well, and didn't think he was going to see the field again after that.
Well, with Woody Hayes, he's lucky he didn't have that ball super glued to his hands.
Right, absolutely. Let's take a look at the other side of the ball for the Boilermakers in 2024. This is a defense that I've got some question marks with. Now, obviously, as we discussed in length with Russ and Dylan, I don't know why I keep calling him Ross. I have a friend named Ross. Russ and Dylan, that you have one of the better free safeties in all of college football. He's only a sophomore, started as a true freshman, has the lineage in Dylan Thieneman back there at free safety. Outside of that, I do question a little bit what they've got at Purdue on the defensive front side of things. You've got Will Helt, Cole Brevard, and Joe Anderson at linebackers. Yanni Karlaftis, I think is how you pronounce that. Kadrin Jenkins. Now, pronounce his name.
Kadrin.
He is a linebacker I like a lot. And so that's one that you should circle and keep your eyes on. He was one of my top 10 in the Big Ten. But outside of those guys, are they going to be able to stop anybody enough to let their offense score is the question here, Chris.
You know, I just don't know. They don't have a ton of experience.
Now, Ryan Wolfers is a defensive coach.
He is a defensive coach.
He is a great schemer.
He is, and they are very good. Like you said, they have a very solid linebacker. They've got one of the top free safeties in the game. I think that this bodes well to, you know, potentially being able to stop the run, or at least slow down the run on some teams. I don't know how successful it's going to be against your top tier running backs, your Judkins, your Hendersons, even your, the bonehead from up north, Edwards.
Oh, Donovan Edwards.
Or Penn State's guys. But you know what? I think that they can be solid in stopping the run against most teams. But I'll tell you what, this is a team that I'm worried is going to get lit up through the air.
Yeah,
I don't see a great deal of pass rush there. So
let's take a look at their schedule, see how they round out and what we think here, Chris. So interesting, they start off with Indiana State. Now, this Indiana State had a great basketball team this year, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, as they called him.
Yeah.
He's not on the football team. So I this should be an auto dub all day long for Purdue. Then they have a bye right off the bat, second game bye. I think Ohio State has theirs in week 3. Purdue has theirs in week 2, their first one. Then they host Notre Dame. If this was a night game, I would be watch out Notre Dame, but it's not. It's a day game.
Still a game I'd love to go see, Eric.
Sure, absolutely. Then they go out west to take on the Beavers of Oregon State. This is an Oregon State team that's pretty depleted this year.
Yeah.
Most if not all of their good players are playing in East Lansing, Michigan this year and not out there in Oregon. So that should be a win for Purdue. Then they have Nebraska, who they lost to last year, who's better this year. They go on the road at Wisconsin. As we discussed, they've lost 17 straight to the Badgers. They're at Illinois. They're going to be looking for revenge. Then they host Oregon. That is a
tough. They have no chance. Let's call it what it is.
That is a tough stretch right there, man.
Yeah.
Very tough stretch. Then they get their second bye. Then they host Northwestern before coming to Columbus, Ohio, and taking that whooping. Then they host Penn State. Then they're at Michigan State and at Indiana to finish off the season. This is a tough schedule, not going to lie. Over-under, Vegas says, is at 4.5. JR says, hammer the under. He is well under at 3 total wins. He believes there's 2 in the non-conference, which is Indiana State and Oregon, and only 1 inside the conference this season for the Boilermakers. Chris, you're only 1 game better at 4-8. However, you say give them 2 conference wins or 2 more conference wins at 3 total. And I'm even 1 game better than you. I say 5-7. And I say they also have 3 wins, but I'm giving them not only the Indiana State win, but I think they're getting the Oregon State win as well. And I say there's a chance they can get to 5 wins. Now, they're hoping they get to 6 and go to a bowl game. I don't know, Chris. Explain yourself here. You say under by a half a game. I say over by half a game. Both of us are saying no bowl game.
No. And if you're betting this line, stay away from it.
Yeah.
So I really think that they're going to beat Indiana State, Eric.
Yep.
I look for them to lose that Oregon State game. This is why.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Oregon State's depleted, but that's their first trip out west.
Yeah.
That's a long trip. It's against a team that had some success last year. Now, granted,
it's
their coach is at Michigan
too.
It is. But their coach is the coach from Oregon State's at Michigan. A lot of the players came over to Michigan State rather. But, I just feel like Oregon State might have a little something left in the tank.
I'm assuming that's really the only game we're different on then.
Well, I've got 3 in the conference with them winning.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have the opportunity to beat Northwestern at home.
I agree.
And then I think they get sneaky good towards the end of the season and steal those last 2 road games.
I agree.
Against Michigan State and Indiana.
Yeah, we have the same ones there, so. Interesting. So the Oregon State game is really the only one we differ on. Obviously, they would love to get one more and steal one from Wisconsin. 17 in a row.
Wisconsin's not going to happen. They need to hope for Illinois.
I don't know that Illinois is going to happen either. After the way that
I don't think it will.
Year, I mean, that's tough. But all right, what do you all think? Let us know in the comments section below what you think Purdue is going to do. Go check out the Boiler Express podcast. Our good friends over there. Those guys are a lot of fun, man. And of course, a lot of you know Dylan because he calls in on our call-in shows on Thursday nights to chat it up with us as well. So now you can put a face with that voice that you've seen and heard. So thank you so much to those guys. And good luck this year, Boilers. You guys are going to need it. Chris? Four down.
Four down. Only 14 to go.
How about next week we go out west and we talk about some new guys from the Pac-12 who's joining the Big Ten for the first time. That sound fun?
Why not?
Let's do it.
Let's talk to those West Coast guys.
Make sure you come back and check out all of our previews. We're doing our two-a-days, two a week, up till the season kicks off, which means if we've got 14 more to go, how many more weeks we got left?
Seven
till game time. Make sure you guys stay right here on the OHIO podcast. Give us a thumbs up, like, share, subscribe. Really do appreciate it. Till next time,
Hi-o.
Go Bucks.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.